All right, Joe, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chof Zayin. We're going to pick up. I know you got a little bit further. Let's just pick up on the last three lines of Chof Vav Amud Beis, 26b, Uba Kulon. I want to thank Rabbi Huda for giving the shir over the last couple of days. Also, we now have a Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Iyar, an anonymous sponsor in the Zuchus of Refu Shalima for Meir Halevi Ben Sarah Leah. We hope that in the merit, Tzvi Meir Halevi Ben Sarah Leah, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Tzvi Meir should have a Refu Shalima together with Kol Chole Yisrael. I will say with that, let's begin. Ubekulon, Yesh Poen Tovas Hanal, top of Chav Zayin Oud Aleph. Remember again, the Gemara, we're talking about the Matnos Kuhuna. Talking about, Michael, can I borrow your car? Do you use it? Okay. So remember again, all of these matnos kahuna ultimately have a tovas hana for the bailim. Now, also, what that means is tovas hana we've discussed before, which means that halacha lemaisa, the owner, the Yisrael, although I have to give away my matnos kahuna, I have the right to choose who to give it to. That is considered to be a right that the Yisrael has within his matnos kuna. So the Ketzad, so the Gemara says, what's an example of this? What's the example of this? So Ketzad, Yisrael Shefesh Truma, it's actually very interesting, Yisrael Shefesh Truma Mekario, V'nimtsa Yisrael Acha, listen to this. So I'm Yisrael, I'm separating out Truma from my pile. Truma becomes the property of the Kohen. And what happens? Umatzo Yisrael Acher, and another Yisrael runs into me. So my Yisrael friend comes over to me after I've separated out Truma from my pile of produce. Varmer lo. And the Yisrael, the second Yisrael says to me, the farmer, Varmer lo, halucha sela zeh, here is a sela, accept this sela, utnehu leben biti kohen. And do me a favor, give your Truma to my grandson who is a kohen. So again, very simple idea. My Yisrael neighbor comes over to me. I'm Yisrael as well. He just saw me separate out my truma. He gives me $100. He says, well, sell us. Then ready. He gives me a seller. He says, do me a favor. Accept this seller. And in recognition of this seller, give your truma to my grandson, who is a Kohen, right? My neighbor's daughter married a Kohen. As a result, they have a child. That neighbor's grandson is a Kohen. So the neighbor is trying to secure my truma through for his grandson, and he gives me money for it. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Mutter. Ultimately, again, this arrangement is absolutely mutter. Now remember again, why is it mutter? Because halacha lemaisa, I have the right to give my truma to whoever I want anyway. The fact that my neighbor is providing me with a financial incentive to give it to his grandson in no way takes away from my, there's nothing shady about that. That's totally fine. I have the right anyway. He's incentivizing me to give it to his grandson. No problem. But there is an exception to this rule. Listen to this. Im haya kohen, le kohen aser. However, if my neighbor was a kohen, and my neighbor kohen wanted to give me money in order to what? In order to get me to give my truma to another kohen, such an arrangement would be aser. Look at Rashi just a moment. Tap Rashi on the daf. Vim haya kohen. No same sela kadesh. Remember, now let's say same case, but instead of my neighbor being Yisrael, my neighbor is a kohen. My neighbor kohen comes over to me after he sees me having separated my truma. He says, let me give you a sela, and do me a favor, give the truma to my grandson, who's also a kohen. So what happens? So that case, the Gemara says, is answer why. Rashi says, Zim haya kohen, no sin, sela kidei shet, nu ala kohen, acher krovo, if a kohen gave me a sela to give the truma to his relative who is a kohen, aser, why is that? Dechivan de lididei chazya, havanira ke kohen emesayeh. So let's remember again in yesterday's daf, we had the concept of kohen hamisayeya bebeis hagranos, which is that a kohen is not permitted to go. Actually, it's interesting. There's really two applications of that principle. So one is that the kohen in general is not supposed to show up at the threshing floor, going ahead and what? Demanding his tithes, right? His portions. And the other piece we saw yesterday is that if the kohen is a employee of the Yisrael, he's helping out in the Beis Hagranos, so the Yisrael should not give his truma to that kohen, because it looks like then that the kohanic portion is being given to the kohen as a fee for services. And we're looking to go ahead and avoid that avoid that. So therefore, again, I will say, in this situation over here, where the Kohen comes up, my Kohen neighbor comes over to me. Now remember again, my Kohen neighbor is technically speaking what? Entitled to the truma itself. I don't have to give it to him because I have the right to choose who I want to give it to, but technically he's entitled to it. If he gives me a selah to go ahead and give it to his grandson or to someone else, so the Gemara says, that's aser, because that has the appearance of koin l'meseya l'beis hagranas. Then that has the appearance that the truma is ultimately against some type of fee for service. So the same arrangement, which is mutter with the Yisrael, will be aser with a koin. So the Gemara says, v'tana, my time alo kamar matnos kuna. So we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. So just say, follow the progression of this statement here, which is like this. So remember again, the way this section began is ubekulon yesh pohen tovas hana. In all cases of matnos kahuna, I, the Yisrael, have tovas hana. I have the right to go ahead and give it to whom I want. If you'll notice again, when the Brisa illustrates this principle, it only illustrates it with what? With truma. So why are you only illustrating this with tumah? Or I mean, there are many different matnos kuna. There's roa lechayayim and keva. There's chazei v'shok. There's many different things. So why are you only illustrating it with tumah? The tana, my tana, lo kamar matnos kuna. Why is the tana only illustrating this with tumah and not focusing on other matnos kuna? Amar lecha, I'll tell you why. Tumah, the kedusha sagufi. So we'll say tumah, remember, is a bit different than other matnos kuna. Why? Because it has kedusha saguf. What Rava says means truma itself cannot become deconsecrated. Right? Truma cannot become redeemed. Truma has physical sanctity. Therefore, because truma has physical sanctity, dechivan dolo mischala, since it cannot be redeemed, lo asile mit ebe, the kohen who receives it cannot make any kind of mistake regarding it. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. The kedusha hagufi, Rashi says, "Tichuli ama yada yadi delo nafka lechulin." Everyone knows that truma cannot be redeemed and go out to chulin. Velo asi haikoin di yoiv avi imo hasela beginei lemitei ulaminag ba inyan chol ulamemar ischala la b'hai sela di yoiv le avi imo. Well, listen to this. Everyone knows that truma cannot be redeemed. Because truma cannot be redeemed, let's play this out. So, in a case where ultimately, again, in the case number one, where my Yisrael neighbor came to me, right? And my Yisrael neighbor said to me, listen, Silver, you just separated out your truma. Here's the sela. Give your truma to my Kohen grandson. When my Kohen grandson gets that truma, we're not afraid that he's going to erroneously think that what? That maybe his Kohen Zeda redeemed the truma, and therefore the grandson can now do with the truma whatever he wants. Why won't the grandson think that? Because everyone knows that truma cannot be redeemed. And everyone knows that. Therefore, the grandson knows that Baruch Hashem, because of the generosity of his grandfather, he got this matnos kuna, but he's got to treat it with sanctity. Back to the Gemara. However, hani other matnos kuna, kevan tikidushas damim ninu. Since about say other matnos kuna, like for example matanos like zro lechayayim and keva, things like that, and bechar, which what tikidushas damim ninu. We'll say those have financial sanctity, not physical sanctity. Therefore, what? Asi limite bahon. The Kohen grandson, when he gets it, may come to erroneously think that because his Yisrael grandfather was able to secure it for him, how? By giving the Yisrael owner some money, maybe mischal kidusha saihu arba zuzi. Perhaps, again, the Kohen grandson will mistakenly think that these items have been redeemed for the money that his grandfather gave to me. And he will come ultimately to treat it like chulin. So we'll say, so therefore, again, if you look at Rashi says, just a moment over here, Rashi says, So essentially the Gemara answers is as follows. Although on a technical level, the halacha is that I, the Yisrael, have tovas hana with all matnos kuna. So this is a principle. Whenever it comes to Kohanic portions, I, the Yisrael, have the right to give it to whichever coin I want. Which is very important, we'll say, because remember, on one hand, even though every Kohen is entitled to it, if a Kohen shows up at my door and he says, listen, I heard you have Truma, give it to me, I have every right to say, no. I have to give it to a member of the Kohuna, but I have the right to choose ultimately which Kohen I give it to. And that concept applies to all Matnos Kohuna. The reason that the Gemara chooses to, and not only that, but also I am permitted to entertain offers and financial incentives. So if Kohanim want to show up at my, right, or I should say if Yisraelim want to show up and encourage me to give my Matnos Kohuna to different Kohanim, I have the right to field, you know, the best offer out there. I have the right to do that. And on a technical level, that really applies to any type of Matnos Kohuna. The reason the Gemara only illustrates this concept with Truma is because with other Matnos Kohuna, there was a concern that if it winds up in the Kohen's hand, because a relative of the Kohen gave me, the Yisrael, a financial incentive to give it to this Kohen, that Kohen may think that the items have been deconsecrated and therefore treat it in a chulin manner. But with Truma, where everyone knows that it can't be deconsecrated, we're not concerned that the Kohen will come to treat it in a chulin manner. That's why the Gemara chooses to illustrate this concept or this principle with Truma. Good. So let's say, so that's our first piece. Tova Sana. Next. Amar Rava. We'll say another interesting piece. Amar Rava. Truma schutz la'aretz ein ba mishum Kohen ha-meseh be'sagranas. We'll say next. Truma schutz la'aretz. You'll say to yourself, Truma schutz la'aretz. What is that? Where do you ever find Rabbi? So remember again, Truma is a mitzvah tuluya ba'aretz. It refers to Eretz Yisrael produce. So what's Truma schutz la'aretz? So this is amazing. Look at Rashi. Truma schutz la'aretz. Derabanan hi v'yachol litna l'kohen ha'meseh. Let's listen to this. So apparently, halacha l'maisa, there was at some point in time historically a Truma derabanan that applied to chutz la'aretz. Where did it apply? To lands in close proximity to Eretz Yisrael. So lands that bordered on Eretz Yisrael, where again, we'll say you would have probably more of a concern of a movement of produce across borders. So halach lamayse chazal, where goes there on certain lands that their produce should be subject to rabbinic truma. Okay, midirabanan. Now watch this. So now we're going to spend a little bit of time speaking about some of the aspects of this truma midirabanan. So Rabbi says, first, number one, truma schutz laaretz, Ein ba mishum kohen meseh be'sagranas. So we'll say halacha number one is that when it comes to the truma of chutz la'aretz, there is no iser of kohen meseh be'sagranas. So we'll say means what? Which means that even if I have a kohen working for me in my threshing floor, I can what? I can give him that truma, and there's no concern that it looks like a fee for service. Even if it is a fee for service, it doesn't really make a difference since this is truma midirabanan. And the Gemara gives an example of this. Rav Chama Yoav Leil Shamei. Rav Chama used to give his truma d'rabanan, right, his rabbinic truma, to his servant, who apparently, again, Rashi says, was a kohen. Was a kohen. So he had a servant, ultimately he was actively working for him, and he used to give his truma d'rabanan to this servant. Amr Shmuel, another example, or another halacha. Again, all fascinating. Truma schutz la'aretz betela baro. So we'll say, let's talk about that in just a moment. General truma, right, truma sarisol, what's the bittel ratio? 100 to 1, right? 100 to 1 is the bittel ratio for truma. Truma schutz la'aretz is batel barov. And we'll say batel barov is what? A 2 to 1 ratio, right? Literally, batel barov, a simple 2 to 1 ratio. So Shmuel says, truma schutz la'aretz is batel barov. Rashi says, batel barov, li'ochla lizar. So we'll say to the point that if truma d'rabanan, truma schutz la'aretz, gets mixed in with other items, as long as there is a 2-to-1 ratio of other item to trumas chutz la'aretz, then what? The mixture is mutter and can be consumed by a non-kohen. Rashi says, velo bayo echad umea. It doesn't require a 100-to-1 ratio. Ula'acha she'ir ba'barov chulin, yachal le'echaz le'echol zar. O kohen bimei tuma la'acha she'bitla. So we'll say, and once it becomes butla in a 2-to-1 ratio, then what? A non-kohen could eat it, or for that matter, a kohen who becomes tameh can eat it as well. Now listen to this. So I said, Rabba mevatla berov. Rabba used to go ahead and be mevatal his truma schutz la'aretz berov. And what? Va'ochela bimei tumaso. and he dafka would eat it when he was tamei. So we'll say again, remember, kohanim, when they're tamei, have to have, you know, can't obviously eat of certain consecrated items. So Rabba Rashi says, interesting, Rabba says over here, kohen haya midebeis eili kasi. That's actually an interesting one. We'll say Rabba, remember again, was a kohen, and he was a descendant, ultimately again, of Beis Eli. But remember again, he was a descendant of Eli HaKohen. Remember again, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah discusses this idea that halacha lemaisa, there was a curse upon the members, the male members, this is a Navi, the male members of the house of Eli, that they would die young. So the Gemara discusses certain descendants of Eli who enjoyed longevity. And the Gemara ultimately attributes that to what? Attributes that to their Torah and their Talmud Torah and their Chesed. So Rabba was one of those examples, a descendant of Eli. So Rabba would go ahead and be mevatel trumas chutz la'aretz, and he would go ahead and he would have it ultimately in his days of tumah when he was tamei. So I just want to point out something very interesting. Now, when we see one more line, then we'll point this out. Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua, Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, kimis ramile chamro de truma. When he would have truma wine, this is truma schutz la'aretz, right? Truma de rabbanon. So when he would have truma wine, truma of chutz la'aretz, hava rami tre natli dechulin, he would go ahead and what? He would take two ladlefuls of chulin wine, v'chada natla v'truma, and one ladleful of truma wine, v'shakil chadmi. So, well, before we get to that, so kimsam lecham v'truma, hava rami tre natli dechulin, v'chada natla v'truma. So we'll say, first thing that he would do is what? He would pour in one ladleful of truma wine and two ladlefuls of chulin wine. Therefore, doing what? Being mevatel the truma and chulin. You see two chidushim in this. What are the two chidushim? Number one, that truma schutz ala aretz ultimately is batel barov. That's number one. Truma de rabban is batel barov. We'll say number two is what? That you can be mevatel at lechatchila. We'll say number again, normally, right? Bittel 101 tells you that what? Bittel is an ex post facto halacha. If it happens, then it's batel. You cannot be mevatel of something, right? We'll say, if you happen to find your, you know, a wonderful chicken soup recipe, that mamish, you know, all it calls for is one drop of milk. One drop of milk, and mamish is going to be like tam gan eden, right? That's all it requires. What's one drop of milk? It's a bottle of one, you know, in a thousand. We'll say, not allowed to do that, right? If the drop of milk falls in by itself, it's not like drop of milk falls in by itself, wink, wink. Right? No, meaning if it falls in by itself, then it's batel. But if you have anything, if that's a premeditated act in any way, then halacha lemaisa, the laws of bittel do not work. So ultimately, again, I will say, I'm just pointing out over here, this is a case of being mevatel something biadayim, bittel lechatchila, where you're actively causing the bittel scenario. So not only is trumas chutza la'aretz, which is truma derabanan, bottle berov, but you actually have the ability to be goring that bittel lechatchila. So watch Rav Huna the Yeshua is taking. He has trumas chutz la'aretz wine, and what is he doing? He's taking one ladleful of that wine, mixing it in with two ladlefuls of chulin. He's pouring all of this into a barrel. So now what happens? He's got two ladles of chulin wine to one ladle of truma wine, and therefore the mixture, the truma wine is batel. Then what happens? V'chad natal truma, v'shakil chad mikan, v'shakil chad. And then afterwards, he would go ahead and he would remove one ladleful of wine from that to drink. Mikan ve'elach, rami chada v'shakil chad. After that, he would introduce one ladleful of wine and drink one ladleful of wine. So the idea is that once that bittel mixture is created, therefore again we assume that there is a rove of chulin, and even if he subsequently introduced more truma wine into that mixture, it would be batel. Good. So we'll say, so that's halacha number one. So halacha number two, halacha number one is that the law of koin meseva beis agranos does not apply with trumas chutz la'aretz. Halacha number two, trumas chutz la'aretz is batel berov. Number three, Barmer Shmuel, trumas chutz la'aretz ochel v'holich v'achar kach mafresh. What's another interesting halacha? Trumas chutz la'aretz, you could continuously eat and only separate a truma at the end. Now watch this. If you look at Rashi, ochel v'holich hateba v'yisher kidei truma v'afreshen v'achrona. We'll say, under normal circumstances, what's the halacha? You're supposed to separate a truma before you partake of anything. Truma schutz al aret, you are permitted to eat first, separate out later. And you could continue to eat as long as what? you make sure that you leave enough at the end for truma. Next, Bar Meshmuel, ein truma schutz la aretz asura ela b'misha tuma yotza lav migufo. But it's another interesting halacha. Truma schutz la aretz, which is, again, truma derabanan, is only usher to someone who becomes tamei because of a tuma, which is as a result of something internal in the body. Right? So also remember again, there are two different ways you could contract tuma. You could contract tuma from an outside source, you touch a corpse, or you could become tamei ultimately again through some type of internal tuma. Nida, zava, balkeri. These are forms of tuma ultimately again that occur from inside of the body. So therefore Shmuel says, Ein shumas chutz al aretz asura, ela b'misha tuma yotza lav migufo. Shumas chutz al aretz is shuma drabbanon, will only be ushered to someone who becomes tamei as a result of something internal occurring in the body. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, not yet, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, V'hani mili, and when is that so? V'hani mili ba'achilo. Both say, that's true also, that if you have what we call a tumah hayose migufo, right? That a tumah that emanates from inside of the body, that you can't go ahead, that your tamei legabi chumas chutz la'aretz, that's only true for consumption. You cannot consume chumas chutz la'aretz if you become tamei as from a form of tuma that comes from inside of the body. Aval benigia, but in terms of touching truma, chumas chutz la'aretz, less lungba. They both say, if you are tamei, if it's a tuma yotzei min haguf, a tuma that comes from the body, then you can't eat chumas chutz la'aretz, but you can touch it. In other words, we'll say, so listen to this distinction. When it comes to consumption, if you become tummy from an outside source, you can eat chumas chutz la'aretz. If you become tummy from an internal source, you cannot eat chumas chutz la'aretz. But whether you become tummy from an external source or internal source, you are permitted to what? Touch chumas chutz la'aretz. Therefore, we'll say, therefore, v'hani mi'divari, good. Am Rabina, hilchach, so this is a very important application here, which is, hilchach, nida, kotze chala. Therefore, I will say, a woman who is a nida. This is talking about now, we're going to see, chalas chutzal la'aretz. Therefore, nida, kotze chala, va'ocha la kohen katan. Therefore, I will say, a nida is permitted to go ahead and separate out chala, and she can give that chala to a kohen who is a katan. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, over hilchach, te benegia in a musar. Now, I will say, remember again, nida, is an example, ultimately, of a tuma hayotze megufa, of a type of tuma that is generated internally. So therefore now, we'll say, a woman who is in Nida, and can separate our chala, and give that to a kohen who is a kata. Now Rashi points out over here, Nida, first white line in Rashi, Nida kotze la chala va'achela kohen kata, v'lo gadol, mipnei shatuma yotza lav megufo, v'imtava la kari harika kata. L'shnachin, so we'll say, we're not going to get into this now, but Rashi and Tosis have different ideas over here as to why Dafka, it's a Kohen Katan. It's not really material for our conversation right now. For our purposes, what we see is that Anida is permitted to go ahead and touch Chala. Why is she permitted to touch Chala? Remember again, this is Chalos Chutz La'aretz, right? So ultimately again, this is Tuma Yotze Migufa. This is Nigia, right? This is not Achila. Therefore, she can go ahead and touch it. She can give it to a Kohen Katan. V'ilaka Kohen Katan, and if there is no Kohen Katan, ultimately for her to give it to, Shak Lala Bereish Masa, she puts the Chala on a spit. V'shadja B'tanura, she throws it into the oven to burn it, meaning if there's no Kohen to give it to, she burns the Chala. V'hada Mefresha Chala Achrisi, but she should then separate out another form of Chala, which is not real Chala, I will say, just symbolic Chala. In order that the halachas of challah not be forgotten, and she gives it to a regular coin. She gives it to a regular coin, ultimately, again, because this is not real challah to begin with. Rabbi say, the point of, without getting into all the technicalities of this case, the point of this case is supposed to be what? An illustration of the previously stated principle, which is that halacha lemaisa, challah chutz la'aretz can be consumed by someone who contracted tuma, if it's an external tuma, but ultimately not an internal tuma. But in terms of negiyah, in terms of contact with chumas chutz la'aretz is permitted even with someone who contracted tuma internally and not externally. Baharaya, ultimately the case of the nido at the chala. Beautiful. Rav Nachman v'Rav Amram v'Rav Rachman. What's an interesting ma'isa? Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Chama, these three great Rabbanim, Havika Azla Ba'arva, were traveling by boat. Salik Rav Amram Lefanuye. So Rav Amram had to take leave of the other two to relieve himself. Asoyahi Isisa, Alas Kamayu. So when Rav Amram was away taking care of his personal needs, a woman came to the other two men, and she asked them a shayla. Amr Luhum, Tomemes, Mahu Sheyitbal V'yochal Shumas Chutzal Aretz. So she asked an interesting shayla. If someone is Tomei Tumas Meis, someone came in contact with a corpse, and the person went to the mikvah, but didn't have hair of shemesh. So most of the normal circumstances, when you become tummy, going to the mikvah is not enough. You need to go to the mikvah and what? And allow for sunset. Let's say you have someone who was tummy tumas meis. He went to the mikvah, didn't have hair of shemesh, right? The sun didn't go down. So the shayla is he permitted to eat trumas chutzal aretz before having hair of shemesh? Good shayla, right? Can he partake of shumas chutz laaretz before hair of shemesh? Okay. Amar le Rav Nachman loy bar chama. So also Rav Nachman turns to Rami bar chama, and he says to him, Amad days. V'chi hazoy ishlanu. Forget about hair of shemesh. Rav say, if you become tamei tumas nes, what's the halacha? What do you really need to become tar? Paraduma. Paraduma. So remember again, hair of shemesh, I will say, is the least of the issues over here. We don't even have para aduma. So if you don't have para aduma, so we assume that it's enough to what? It's enough to go to the mikvah. Remember again, this is rabbinic truma. It's enough to go to the mikvah. You go to the mikvah, and you don't need hair of shemesh. Look at Rashi. Tap Rashi, chavzana medeis. V'chi azal yesh lanu, bizman hazeh. Do we have the sprinkling of the ashes of para aduma during this time? V'chi vandein achshav hazah bizman hazeh. Since we don't have azaz, we don't have sprinkling of the ashes of the paraduman this time, Herav Shemesh Nami Loboy. So we'll say, Rav Nachman posits that since at the end of the day we don't have the ashes of the paraduman now anyway, therefore what? Therefore again, we shouldn't require Herav Shemesh either. So we'll say, listen to this. Shamani Rai Bar Chama, Lo Lechosh Leila Saba. So we'll say, Rai Bar Chama says to Rav Nachman, do you think we should wait for Saba? Saba is a reference to Rav Amram. Remember again, Rav Amram was the elder sage of the three. He was not there for this shaila. He had excused himself to take care of his needs. So this is amazing. So Rav Nachman is ready to answer the shaila. Of course you could go ahead and eat shumas chutzal aretz without hair of shemesh. All you need is to go to the mikvah, that's fine. To which Rav Bar Chama says, no, maybe we should wait for Rav Amram. We should wait for the Saba. So Adahachi Asra Amram. So as they're having this discussion, Rav Amram comes back. So and they pose the question before Rav Amram, and Rav Amram says, Amar Luhu Hachi Amar Rav. This is what Rav said. Tamei Meis Tovel VaOchel B'Tshumas Chutzal LaOretz. So it's interestingly enough, so Rav Amram said, you know what? You're right. Rav said that the halacha is that if someone was Tamei Tumas Meis and he wants to eat Tshumas Chutzal LaOretz, which is Shuman D'Rabbanan, all he needs to do is what? Go to the mikvah, and he doesn't require hair of shemesh. Doesn't require the sunset, but comes along Rav Amram and says, the less hilchasa kavaseh. But we don't paskin like Rav. Instead, we say that what? Hair of shemesh is absolutely required. I will say, this is actually interesting. You see from here sometimes one of the distinctions between being a Talmud Chacham and being a Talmud Chacham with life experience. You see, a Talmud Chacham could possess a lot of knowledge. Life experience, right, often tells you what's done and what's not. So the Talmud Chacham of any age could have a lot of. See, here you have Rav Amram saying, yes, Rav did say that. In fact, the halacha is that for Chumas Chutzlaret, if you become Tamei Tumas Meis, all you need to do is go to the mikvah, and you don't require hair of shemesh. But Rav Amram says, but yes, you should know. That's not the way we conduct ourselves. That's not what we do. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Amar Mar Zutra Mishnei Rav Sheshes Tamei Sheretz. Let's say another similar case. If someone was Tamei Tumas Sheretz, which means they came in contact with a sheretz, a rodent. So we'll say what happens. Tovel va'ocha b'tshumas chutzal la'aretz. So ultimately, and so we'll say this is Mar Zutra saying Rav Sheshes. That for Tumas Chutz La'aretz, if you came in contact with Tumas Sheretz, you can go to the mikvah, and you do not require Hair of Shemesh. The less, But Rabbah say this is not how we paskin. We paskin that even for either for Tumas Sheretz, which is a more minor form of Tumah, or for that matter, again, for let's say Tumas Chutzlarts, which is only rabbinic in nature, halacha lemaisa, not only do you require tefillah in a mikvah, but what you also require Harav Shosh, which Rabbah says something very interesting, which see, the more compelling piece over here is regarding Tumas Meis. Because ultimately, again, remember what Rav Nachman was saying was a very interesting point. He was saying, listen, any time we're tovel for Tumas Meis, anyway, it's deficient. Why is it deficient? Because at the end of the day, you don't have Azah, right? You don't have the sprinkling of the Paraduma. If it's deficient anyway, then what? Then you shouldn't have to wait for Ha'er of Shemesh. To which Rav Amram says, you're right, but you're wrong. Meaning on a technical level, you're right, but that's not how we conduct ourselves. Even though we don't have the Afar Para Aduma. And therefore, again, the purification process for Tumas Meis is deficient, you still require Ha'er of Shemesh. Rav Amram yields an incredible Musar. What's the incredible Musar? So I say, sometimes we think that in life and in Yiddishkeit, it's all or nothing. Either I'm going to get it all right or not. And if I don't get it all right, then it's not worth anything. Either I'm going to go ahead and be totally tar, or you're not tar at all. To which Rav Amram says, it's not true. He says, sometimes even if you can't become totally tar, you try to achieve the level of tara that is within reach. I would love to be totally tar. That requires the afer of the para aduma. I don't have that afer. In the absence of the ability to become completely and unequivocally tar, I'll try to become as tar as I can in the circumstances I have. An incredible Musar, says the Gemara. And we'll say that when Rav Amram says, "Les hilcha sakavase," that's what he's saying. He's saying life is not an all or nothing thing. We don't say either you're tameh or you're tar. At the end of the day, sometimes you just have to try to become as tahar as you can in the circumstances that you have. Good, the Gemara goes weiter. Bechor nechal shana b'shalas. We'll see more again, going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah stated a very important halacha, which is, ha-bechor nechal shana b'shana. The bechor could be or should be consumed within the year, bein tam bein bal mum. Whether the Bechor is a Tam, or whether the Bechor is a Bal Mum. So remember the Mishnah said, Nolad lo mum b'tzoch shnaso, rasha lekaima kol shneim asar chodesh. If ultimately, again, the Bechor developed a Mum within its first year, you have up to that first year to go ahead and shecht it, right? Because we'll say the concern over here is if you go ahead and you keep the Bechor around for too long, what are we concerned about? Giza v'avoda. We're concerned that you're going to come to shear. You're going to come to shear the animal or work the animal. Therefore, within the year, you have to do something to utilize the animal, to shecht it and to consume it. To consume it. So says the Gemara. Midikamer nolad bo mum b'soch shnaso l'meimra d'lishana d'idei manina. So listen to this. Here's the interesting question. When we talk about the year of the Bechor, what year are we referring to? Is it a year as counted from the birth of the Bechor? Or is it a calendrical year? So for example, let's say the Bechor is born in Iyar. So how do you measure a year? Is it Iyar 5779 and a year starting from now? Or do we say the year 5779 started when? Tishrei. And when does that year end? When does that year end? At the end of Elul of this year. So the Gemara says, the fact that the Mishnah said, Nolad bomom besoch shnaso, that if a mum developed within its year possessive, lememra deshana didei manina. They're both say ultimately when counting the year, we count by the actual birth of the animal. The year, the clock is started when the animal is born and is not 12. Defined, 12 months from the time the animal is born, but not defined by the calendrical year. So the Gemara says, from where do I know this? Well, the Pasuk says by the Bechor, you shall eat it before Hashem your God, shana b'shana. Ezehu shana shenechneses b'chaverta. Well, say, which is the year that runs into its fellow year? Havi omer shana shal Bechor. I would say this refers to the year of the Bechor. Look at Rashi. Zu shana shal Bechor, Rashi says. Kilomar dichi azlis achar shnas ha-Bechor, havi nechneses b'chaverta. There will say, if you go after the 12 months as counted from the birth of the Bechor, you almost inevitably will have what? You will have 1 year going into the other. And I was about to say, unless of course the Bechor is born on Aleph Tishrei, by definition what's going to happen? The year of the Bechor will be Shana B'Shana. We'll go from one calendrical year into the next, Rashi says. Havi nechneses b'chaberta, t'chi havi lebechor shana achas, nechneses shnia, leminyan ola mitishrei. Good. The Rabbi said, therefore, that's a raya, that ultimately it's shana b'shana, goes from 1 year to the next, because the 12 months are counted from the birth of the Bechor. The Bei Rav Tana, shana b'shana, yomechad b'shana zu, yomechad b'shana zu. So Rabbi said, listen to this. In Yeshiva of Rav, they used that drasha to teach something else. What does shana b'shana teach me? Shana b'shana teaches me that ultimately, again, you take 1 day from this year and 1 day from next year. What does that mean? That teaches me limit ala b'chor shene'acha l'shnei yom v'layla echa. That teaches me that, in fact, the window of consumption for the b'chor, that once the b'chor is offered up, it will say, how long can you eat the b'chor for? Shana b'shana, meaning it will say, even 1 day this year, 1 day next year, i.e., 2 days and one night. Limeid al b'char shene'acha l'shneyam v'laylecha. The window of consumption for the b'char is 2 days and one night. So I'll say, so interestingly enough, machlokis in the limit of shana b'shana. Does shana b'shana teach me that the 12 months of the b'char are started from the birth of the b'char, and therefore inevitably go from one calendrical year to the next? Or maybe shana b'shana teaches me about the window of consumption, that ultimately, again, you could have a window that goes from 1 year to the next. What does that teach me? That the window of consumption is 2 days and one night. The Bei Rav Minalu, so we'll say ultimately again in the Yeshiva of Rav, so from where do they know that the 12 months is counted from the birth of the Bechor and is not a calendrical year? Yalfi Mikadshim. They learn that halacha from Kadshim. The Kadshim Gufay Minalu, that's nice, but where do we learn out Kadshim from? So Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov Omakra, Keves Ben Shnaso. We'll say the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says ultimately again, Keves ben Shnaso, Shnaso Shalo, Velo Shana Shal Minyan Olam, teaches us that when it comes to sacrificial items, right, the Keves ben Shnaso, it is the Keves's year, meaning that ultimately again, when dealing with anything regarding timing of sacrificial items, that clock is started by the birth of the sacrificial item and not by the calendrical year. The Rav, Nechal Shneyam V'layla Echem Minalei, we'll say, where does Rav know that the Bechor can be eaten for 2 days and one night? Nafkale mi ubisaram yelecha kechazei hatnufa ukeshog hayamin. I will say we learn that from the fact that the Torah says that the basar, the flesh of the bechor, shall be to the kohen like the chazei, like the chest, and like the thigh. So what do you see from here? Hekishan hakasuv lechazei v'shok shoshlamin. The Torah is equating, or the Torah is comparing, the meat of the bechor to ultimately, again, the chest and the thigh of the shlomim. To teach me what? Rabbi said, last line, chavzayin amabez, ma lahalon shnei yom v'layla achor. Rabbi said, just like the chazay and shok of shlomim can be consumed for 2 days and one night, afkan shnei yom v'layla achor, so too when it comes to the meat of the bechor, you get 2 days and one night. The idach, and Rabbi said, the other opinion, Imi Hassam will say as follows. So we'll say, so the other thing will say, if you learn it, Imi Hassam, if you learn it out from here, I mean from Chazei V'Shok, Ikala Meimar, Chazei V'Shok Shaltoda. How do you know that the Torah is coming to compare the meat of Bechor ultimately to what? To the Chazei and Shok of Shlomim. Maybe it's coming to compare it to the Chazei and Shok ultimately of Toda. We'll say the halach is the Chazei and Shok of Toda. The window of consumption for that is 1 day and one night. The idach, the other opinion will say, Amakra, l'cha yihyeh. The pasuk by Bechor says, it will be for you. Hosif l'cha kasuv havia acheres. Torah is coming to include an additional having. Additional having teaches me that ultimately, again, it gets more than the simple chazei v'shok. Even if you want to compare it to the chazei v'shok of Toda, which only gets 1 day and one night, l'cha yihyeh teaches me that there's an additional having, quote-unquote, of the Bechor, which usually I get it for an additional day. Okay. V'idach, the other thing you will say, Imi Hassam changes it. Imi Hassam, Ika Lameimar Hayyelecha, Limeit al Bechor Bamum, Shenosna Lekoin. But I'll say ultimately again, no, you need that Diyelecha to teach you something else, which is that even that a Bechor that is a Bamum goes to the Kohen. Shelo matzinu lo b'chala Torah kula. Because we'll say in general again, we don't find that other sacrificial items, when they are a baal mum, are given to the Kohen. Therefore, the Chayyeh teaches me that even if this is a baal mum, it is given to the Kohen. V'idach, the other opinion will say, u'bisaram, and the Pasuk says, and its flesh will go to the Kohen, echad tam ve'echad baal mum. That comes to teaching that whether the Bechar is a tam or a baal mum, it goes to the Kohen. V'idach, the other opinion will say, Ubisaram dahani bechoros to kuli yisrael kamar. None of that. Bisaram teaches me regarding the general halachos of all bechoros belonging to Yisrael. So I will say. So bottom line is one of these interesting cases where the limud itself is not subject to zut. Everyone is agreeing ultimately again halacha lemaisa on the halacha. The machlokes ultimately is just regarding the limud. But I will say, but for our purposes, what comes out is the bottom line halacha lemaisa is that the year, the clock, ultimately again for the Bechar, is started based on the birth of the Bechar, and ultimately it's not a calendrical year, but rather, I guess for lack of a better term, we'll call it a biological year. But I'll say just the right that ultimately the Shulchan Aruch discusses. If it happens to be a leap year, for example, halacha lemaisa, well, actually, we'll see that in tomorrow's half. Let me just read you the halacha. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in Sin Shin Vav Sif Zayin, HaBachar, Afilu Bamum Ne'achal Toch Shnaso. Umeima Simonala, from where do we count ultimately the year of the Bachar? Im Nolad Bamum Monala Miom Shinolad. So we'll say, so again, we're going to get into this distinction about a baal mum versus an animal that is born at the time, but ultimately, for our purposes, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, when do we count? Miyom Shenolad, the 12 months of the Bechor. Now again, we'll see the 12 months have different ramifications, if the Bechor is a baal mum, or if the Bechor is tam, but for our purposes today, that clock of 12 months is started ultimately at the birth of the Bechor, and is not measured by a calendrical year. We'll stop and pick up and do that tomorrow. No, I have. I just forgot about this.